The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is a complicated place. You need someone to expose the political fakers, fixers, and takers, and to cut through the mindless chatter and misdirection to help you make sense of it all. That person is Dan Proft, and this is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome to the Dan Proft Show. Follow us at danproftshow.com. You can find all the podcasts there, as well as at iTunes and Spotify, of course. Social media at Dan Proft Show, as well as at Dan Proft. And we begin on this Friday with the decision by California Governor Gavin Newsom to East Berlin, the state of California.
We direct a statewide order for people to stay at home. That directive goes into force and effect this evening, and we are confident that the people of the state of California will abide by it.
Well, in case you're not confident, Eric Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., talked to Chris Cuomo about deputizing bureaucrats to walk the streets and check on people to make sure they're abiding the shelter-in-place order. Garcetti also talking about law-abiding citizens, quote-unquote, going crazy by obtaining guns. This against the backdrop of the same Garcetti, along with other big city mayors, openly talking and moving to release prisoners who are otherwise in confined spaces for fear of spreading the virus. So you're releasing prisoners, including those who may be violent, including those who you may think likely to commit additional crimes, as well as in places like Philadelphia, telling the police to stand down with respect to particular criminal offenses. And then you're also telling people they're crazy if they obtain the means of self-protection. This is if you think the politicians have your back. One other piece before we get to our guest on the topic. This piece from in Time Magazine from Yuval Harari, who's the best-selling author of Homo Deus. This is sort of the utopian bio-world of Coke vision and philosophy, I think, that undergirds so much of what you hear from politicians. In the fight against viruses, he writes, humanity needs to closely guard borders, but not the borders between countries. It needs to guard the border between the human world and the virus sphere. Planet Earth is teeming with countless viruses, and new viruses are constantly evolving due to genetic mutations. The borderline separating this virus sphere from the human world passes inside the body of each and every human being. If the dangerous virus manages to penetrate this border anywhere on Earth, it puts the whole species in danger. Okay, that's fair enough. But what's the real problem today? He writes, today, humanity faces an acute crisis, not only due to coronavirus, but due to the lack of trust between humans. To defeat an epidemic, people need to trust scientific experts, citizens need to trust public authorities, and countries need to trust each other. Over the last few years, irresponsible politicians have deliberately undermined trust in science and public authorities and in international cooperation. As a result, we're now facing this crisis bereft of global leaders that can inspire, organize, and finance a coordinated global response. For more on the topic, we're pleased to be joined by Richard Epstein, the Peter and Kirsten Bedford Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, the Lawrence A. Tisch Professor of Law, New York University Law School, Senior Lecturer at the University of Chicago, author of one of my favorite books from an economist, Simple Rules for a Complex World. Richard Epstein, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
I'm very glad to be here.
So with respect to the decision by Newsom and the sort of philosophical observation by Harari that we just need more cooperation and more trust in government officials and more belief in science, what's your response?
I think we ought to have more belief in science and statistics and less faith in government, and certainly none of the morbid pessimism associated with Mr. Ferrari, I believe was his name. Yeah. You start looking at these numbers, and let me just sort of give what the projection is before we critique it. I think at present in California, the number of deaths from the various viruses is about 20, and I believe it's 18, actually, and four of those have been several weeks ago. So you've had 14 deaths probably in the last 2 to 3 weeks, which is one a day. He is projecting, when he puts forward this claim for the quarantine or the lockdown, that there will be basically over half the people in the state will get the virus, which is numbers he puts at 26 million. If you then try to figure out, he says, what the death rate is going to be over the next 8 weeks, that works out if, quote, nothing is done when much has been done, to 5,000 per day. If his program is effective, he likes to think he could taper it to 2,500 a day. I'm standing here now at the global death screen, which has all the total cases and death, and the total cases worldwide confirmed thus far is about 250,000. The total deaths, which is a much more reliable number, is about 10,000 people. So he's assuming that you will duplicate in California alone the same number of deaths that you've had worldwide for the last 2 months or so in the matter of 2 to 4 days. Off a base of 20 people. This is madness. I cannot understand how you've done it. I have some very learned friends, and I've argued with them. I put up a post that I estimated this at 500 deaths in the United States, 50,000 worldwide. Actually, as I think about it, those numbers can't be right because the ratio would have only 1% of the deaths in the United States. So keep the worldwide estimate, which is basically 5 times what the current death rate is, and make America, say, 2 to 3% of that particular total, which would be perfectly realistic, 50,000 deaths. You'd get 3,000, 4,000 deaths at most coming out of this, the amount that Mr. Newsom thinks will come in California in 2 days. So clearly, there's a huge stuff. Trust people. I do trust people. I trust myself to try to do these things and to work it out. I've had a lot of experience as a lawyer dealing with, you know, epidemiology and AIDS in similar situations. I speak to a lot of statisticians. Why it is that a governor whose best I can tell has zero intelligence about anything is putting forward such an alarmist thing without any sense of the data is just beyond me.
Well,
what
happens
is, to understand the virus, is it has to be a kind of a dynamic meeting. You look at all of the previous pandemics or serious situations, and they never take the form which people say this one's going to take, which it kind of creeps up on you, and then it will burst. So the New York Times had a story by Nick Kristof and a man named Thompson, which sort of predicted against 10 million cases nationwide in July, based upon the current exposures of about, let's say, 10 or 20,000 people in the United States. Whatever the number is, it's 10,000, I think. The flu every day used to give 10 times that amount to people. Doing the last thing. And the number of deaths per day was far higher than the total deaths in the United States. What these things do is they come with a burst. There's adaptation, both of the virus and the people. And then what happens is they slowly peter out. And so let me just give you one statistic that is read completely incorrectly. It said, well, we now have much better reporting than we had before, and we see how grave it is. That's wrong. We know, in effect, the number of deaths that have happened to date. And the thing that you can do is you know that anybody who was infected in the before, say, 2 weeks ago, say March 6th, they've already in the tables. If there were a large number of infections at that particular time and very few deaths reported up to date, what that means is that the virus is less powerful than you think it is. It also means, when you start looking at the current reports, it's not the correct number. They're telling you the number of cases reported today. What you really need to know is the number of cases that occurred today. And the reporting will pick up cases that weren't reported earlier on, that occurred earlier on, and will therefore make the curve look steeper than it actually is. And even if you do that, it's not as steep as one would want to think of it. So what you need to do is to figure out where the problem is and how to solve it. So you look at the numbers, for example, and you quickly realize that if you go to Washington State, one state in the United States, I mean, you know, you've got the 75 deaths there or more, 76 now, 77. Well, that's you know, about 35% of the deaths in the United States, most relating to a single medical facility. Obviously, there are a fair number of deaths in New York. It's up to 40, a small number compared to the other kinds of deaths. Then you have to look further and ask, what kinds of people get this? How old are they? And if they're younger, do they have any comorbidities? That is, if you're somebody who's got lupus or diabetes or renal failure and so forth, you're at risk. So what you do is you tell people, self-select to stay out of trouble as a function of age and bodily condition, and you will get 90% of the effectiveness you get without having to wreck an economy, which will result in people being short on their meds, going without adequate food, having inadequate exercise, because this particular quarantine is not going to be risk-free. It's going to generate other kinds of risks from other kinds of deaths. So this is a form of desperate stupidity taken by a man who is so ignorant that it's truly painful to believe that somebody that dumb can be in public power.
Well,
the same guy in New York, de Blasio. What's in common with all these guys? They're all progressives. And what is it about progressives? They don't believe in individual choice. They don't believe in market mechanisms. They believe in their own infinite knowledge and their ability to guide, i.e. coerce, everybody else. And so this is a case of the dumb leading the smart.
When we come back, I want to respond to what you just mentioned and also discuss New York City Mayor de Blasio's call for nationalizing industries. We'll have more with Professor Richard Epstein when we return.
Grab a good seat and sharpen your pencils. Class is in session with Professor Dan Proft and the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the Dan Proft Show. We're talking to Professor Richard Epstein. I want to go back to what you were saying, Professor, about so-called price gougers and the nationalization of industry. I mean, you're right. De Blasio taking the opportunity of to talk about nationalizing industries within the last week. The kid who is arbitraging hand sanitizer, he's a price gouger and a problem. A mayor who's talking about nationalizing the hand sanitizer producers, not a problem. But I also want to go back to another governor, too. This is a governor who's not been given a lot of coverage, and he deserves it the same way Newsom does. And that's Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania, who shut down his state almost a week ago. There's been one death reported in Pennsylvania, 112 cases. But it goes to this incentive structure, right, for politicians, Professor Epstein.
Yeah,
and the incentive is no matter what you do, nothing can be an overreaction because I have these dire worst case scenario predictions. So everything I do will be seen as saving lives and nobody can disprove that I acted to save lives.
Well, what you can do is you have this information of what happened in Wuhan. And you know what went on there. And basically you had a month of intense activities, caught everybody by surprise, and it never spread throughout the rest of China. And so here you have, you know, if you just take the one province in China, it turns out if you start looking at the death rates, it's about, you know, 3,000 people died, 3,100 people died in Hubei province in China. That's where Wuhan is. You then go further down on the scroll. When you look at Beijing, a city of, I don't know, 20 million people, perhaps, 9 deaths. It's clear that this is highly localized. And so even if somebody as a governor wants to do that, he may have one or two hot spots in the state, but he's shutting down everything in a wild sense of over-precaution. I think there was a story in Atlantic today which said that half the cases in the United States are concentrated in 10 counties.
Right.
Why on earth, therefore, do you want to shut down the entire system?
Well, compare Wuhan. So Wuhan is an area of 11 million people. They had 80,000 mm-hmm. plus cases because they tried to cover it up initially and weren't serious about treating.
Yeah.
So in Illinois is a state of about 13 million people. We've got 422 cases and 4 deaths, and there's open discussion about going from shutting down bars and restaurants and schools to shutting down the whole state like California or Pennsylvania.
But look, the governor is an incompetent. It's really hard to sort of imagine how overreacted it is. The only thing that one hopes for is if you start looking at what's happened in Italy, the number of cases is very high. The number of deaths this morning is about 3,405 on my master chart. But I believe yesterday it was over 3,000, which suggests that the numbers are starting to decline in terms of new cases. And perhaps one will then realize that that's the way in which these curves go. That is, A logarithmic curve, as you think of a line at the 45-degree angle, is one that goes up much more slowly than the diagonal.
Right.
And an exponential curve goes up much more rapidly. I'm predicting, based upon everything I know about this, that these thick curves are going to be logarithmic, meaning that they're not going to get faster as you go on. They're going to get slower. Everybody else who's doing the panic is treating them as exponential. They go up to this enormous level, and then everybody's dead. I mean, if you really were to take the geometric progression seriously and assume very rapid transmission but no adaptive behavior, by the time you got to July 1st, the entire universe would be publicized with this stuff. And that's what Gavin Newsom is doing in California. So it really is desperately implored to get somebody to calm down. And if you look at the front page of the New York Times, or you look at the front page of the Wall Street Journal, which has nothing to do with the rest of the paper,
right,
what you do is you see this sort of basic hysteria taking over. Let me just read you a paragraph which I wrote in my paper, okay? This is from the flu from October to March, and there were about 36 to 51 million infections, right? And we're up at 10,000. Between 370,000 and 670,000 hospitalizations that didn't overwhelm the system, and between 22,000 and 55,000 flu deaths. Well, that works out to about 230 to 320,000 new infections per day, and we're not near that. We're at 4,000 or 5,000. Between 140 and 350 deaths per day, and then you could figure out what the mortality rate is of that. We have not had, in the United States, 350 deaths for the entire past time, and that was basically a bad day in the flu epidemic. So I cannot understand what's going on. I mean, if I sound pained, it's because I am. As I said, you know, I've heard people want to argue with me and say that, well, you could get a death toll of up to 20 or 25,000 in the United States, which I'm skeptical about because I'm assuming that the Chinese are lying. Let's just do that. And they probably had twice as many deaths in Wuhan as they announced. Still, you're not going to get four times that number of deaths in the United States given the way in which people have behaved. I mean, the difficulty we have now in the United States is that most of the population, say, that between ages of 5 and 50, which is at very low risk of death and even of serious illness, are taking wildly excessive precautions. The amount of people who self-quarantine themselves, the number of businesses that will fail because of these self-quarantine has gone way over the top relative to the data. Last study I read, somebody said, this whole thing is going to be absolutely crazy. There's a man named Thomas Pale, P-U-E-Y-O, who says, you know, the halls are going to be racked with people in this kind of pain. I cannot understand how you really think that this could happen. In the United States, 30% of the deaths have happened in one nursing home facility in Kirkland, Washington.
I wanted to get your reaction to the other side of the equation. That, I mean, the two are intertwined, but the economic response from the government, and particularly the Senate Senate Republican legislation yesterday with the cash payments up to a certain income threshold and the low interest secured loans to businesses.
This is all crazy. What they need to do is they have to unleash business so the stock market can resume and people could start having their lives. If you try to figure out what's going to happen to the GDP in the United States, there's going to be a real loss of several trillion dollars in the next couple of weeks. And that's a real loss. What you're going to do with this stuff is you're going to make transfer payments. All transfer payments do is they take the loss from one person and they give it to another person, mm-hmm. which will not solve the problem. Stimuluses never work for that reason because there's always a hidden tax on the people who pay, which offsets the benefit for the people who start to receive. So what do you want to do? Well, let me mention two things that were very constructive that were told to me recently. One, somebody says, now we should allow telemedicine across state lines. We should have done that years ago. This entire system of state balkanization of a national market through licensure provisions means that if you're a world-class surgeon sitting in Kansas City, Missouri, you can't help save somebody who's on a farm somewhere in Kansas, the countryside of Kansas, even though it's very close and you can do this extremely well. You get rid of that stuff, it costs you nothing, and it saves a huge amount. And if you had just more telemedicine, it would make things go away very, very rapidly. And then with bank loans, I mean, the level of security that you want to do to finance a bank, the joke I gave when I last refinanced my bank, it's easier to rob the darn bank than it is to get a renewal of a mortgage, which everybody knows. But everybody knows it is lower in risk than the mortgage that you already had. because your security has gone up, the total amount of the borrowed has gone down, your payment record has been perfect, and they ignore all that stuff. And in my case, as required by government, they basically went into a complete frenzy because I could not find a partnership return which has somewhere between $20 and $50 on it as income to complete my dossier, so they didn't want to complete the loan. What you want to do in this business is to let banks lend on their own criteria instead of having these ridiculous government mandates put in place in 2008.
He is Richard Epstein. He is the Peter and Kirsten Bedford Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, the Lawrence A. Tisch Professor of Law at New York University Law School, Senior Lecturer at the University of Chicago, and I will tweet out his piece at hoover.org. Professor Epstein, thanks as always for joining us. Appreciate it.
Okay, my friend. Thank you.
Take care.
Listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.